And the Lord really works on my heart. Maybe I'll let you know ahead of time. Maybe I'll start teaching the book of Romans for a few months. We'll start with the doctrine. Not tonight. I'm just going to give you like a little review of the book. But we're told not to be tossed into with every wind of doctrine. The reason people get discouraged, the reason people fall for false religions, they're not grounded in the Word of God. You need to know what you believe and why you believe it. By the way, I want to say this lest I forget. Thank you for the jail ministry. They had a good night last night. I think they did last night. Thank you for the ministry you did last night in the jail ministry. And I think Brother Coolidge told me today that Brother Rich Myers stepped in the gap there yesterday. So we're thankful for that. I know the ladies had a good night too, and we're thankful for that. And so I think there was four of them there, so that's good. Keep up the good work in that jail ministry. Tossed every to and fro with every wind of doctrine. I'm glad I went to Bible college. Bible college don't complete you, but it helps you sometimes. They used to say, yeah, I believe in eternal security. I believe this. I believe that. And a lot of people, amen, amen, amen. But if they're confronted, why do you believe me? Give me a scripture that tells me why you believe that. A lot of times people freeze. Well, the preacher says it, and everybody says amen. Amen? Well, I don't want my... Of course, you know, we had the Bible Institute 4 or 5 years, and I think we had 34 people graduate with three-year degrees there in our, so a lot of our people have been grounded in the Word of God. We had some outside people come in, a pastor over there in Route 59, Brother Bob. What is it? Yes, he graduated from our college, and he was a good, he was a great student, and he brought coffee and cookies every night we met, and was tremendous. Bob was he was a blessing. So, anyways, but. The book of Romans, what it does, it grounds you. It'll give you some strength to stand, not just because the preacher says it, not just because people say amen to it. You need to know what you know. And I'm glad, Brother Jack, when I preach on doctrine, the reason I preach with such fervency, I don't know what the word would call it, because I know down deep in my heart, I know why what I'm preaching is true. Scripture says if you know the truth, truth will set you free, John 8:32. And so, let's turn to the book of Romans. I'm just going to give you a little outline tonight. If I decide to start going with it, I'll start giving you outlines every night. We'll see. I'll give a heads up before I do that, though. And this is just a little outline of the book of Romans on the doctrines. If you have a bulletin on the back of that bulletin, you can write things. If you haven't wrote on it yet, you could take notes on us. I believe I'm going to get into this book of Romans, been in my heart. I'll start bringing you. I'll give out notes every week when I start to teach it for consistency. When we start really going into, I'll bring you notes every Wednesday. I would probably do it for 2 or 3 months, and then I'd break off because you blow people out after a while. Because not everybody wants to learn doctrine. Not everybody wants to hear the preacher talk on Romans, but it's a tremendous book. And the Lord's blessed me. I had one of the greatest teachers in the book of Romans. He's in heaven now, Dr. John Brook. And people have come through our class. They're excited. So, all right, let's think about the book of Romans. Are you in chapter 3? Just look at chapter 3, and let me just give you, look at 3:19. The book of Romans teaches us five major doctrines. The first doctrine is condemnation. The second, and I'm going to go, we're not going to get all this. I'm just going to give you some introduction, a couple of them. But condemnation. Look at Romans 3:19. It shows you that the whole world, if you look at Romans 3:19, this first doctrine that it teaches, that's, by the way, that's why Jesus came from heaven and died on Calvary, because all of us were condemned. We were all snake bitten by Adam's sin. But praise God, Christ loved us and was willing to die and shed his blood so we that were in condemnation could have and receive justification. Amen? But if you look at Romans 3:19, the Bible says, and I'm just going to paraphrase for me, it says that every mouth stopped. You got Romans 3:19? Every mouth stopped, and the whole world guilty before God. Let me see that. The judge of all the earth, God himself, puts down the gavel and says to every human, guilty, guilty. Every person, we just had a baby born a few days ago on our membership. Jack and Alicia had a little baby girl, Abby, little Abby. And she's as cute as, we showed her pictures up here Sunday. But you know, as great, as wonderful she is, and she's a gift from God. Did you know she was born into the human race? Did you know Abby's, you know what? She's a sinner. She's already been born a sinner. She was, because her daddy was a sinner. She inherited her daddy traits. How many are still with me? See, the Bible teaches that when you're born into the lost, fallen race of Adam. And even though you say, those babies don't sin, you that had babies, you know they do. For instance, Brother Mike, we know your baby's precious. Little Graceland. There'll be times Graceland just wants mommy or grandpa or grandma to hold her. She'll start crying. Most time, if anyone had children, when children cry, there's really two major reasons. One, they need a new diaper. Hello? And sometimes it's rough getting to that next one, amen? And two, they need a bottle. They're hungry. They can't get up and walk around and hit the refrigerator like we do. No, they got to count on mom and dad to come and get them. Of course, I know this is grandma and grandpa here. But so two reasons, they'll either cry because they're hungry or they have a discomfort somewhere. But sometimes they cry and they got a dry diaper. They just drank their bottle, yet they're still crying. And the moment you pick them up,
yeah. Thank you, Grandpa.
Put them back down. Ah!
Oh, come on, baby. I'll pick you up.
It's because them babies, they are born with a sin nature. And they can't help it. They were born that way. You were born that way. And because they have a sin nature, because you and I have a sin nature, and because everyone from Adam on down through the ages, they were born with Adam's nature. We inherited from him, the first Adam. And so the first Adam passed down one major doctrine to everybody. He passed down condemnation. We're all people of sin. Amen? And the last Adam, Christ, he gives you justification. I'm having trouble just even doing this introduction, Rod. This is just, all I did was that. Surely I could be able to do that in 30 minutes, couldn't I? Rod's not saying nothing. Romans 3:19, so condemnation. The whole world condemned. The whole world guilty before God. Well, I'm going to do this little outline, then we're going to start the condemnation. I wrote justification down. They're just little sketches. They're not the full doctrine. But so we see we have condemnation. That's Romans 3:19. We have justification taught, and Romans 4:25 says, He was delivered for our offenses, Christ, and raised again for our justification. And so you have condemnation, all guilty before God. Justification comes from the shed blood of Christ. Romans 4:25, he was delivered for our offenses, raised again for our justification. He actually uses the word raised again for our justification. Then we have sanctification. And that word sanctification, that word justification, Jack, means this. Once you trust Christ as your Savior, justification means once you trust Christ as your Savior, it's just as though you never were in the lost, fallen race of Adam. We all start out in the lost, fallen race of Adam. We're condemned. But once we take Christ as our Savior, those who do, we are taken out of that lost, fallen race of, and putting in the last, we're justified. It's just as, once we take Christ our Savior, it's just like we never were condemned. We were taken out of the lost, fallen race of Adam and putting in the last Adam, which is Christ Jesus. And now I've, and my sins and iniquities, he remembers no more. Hebrews 10:17, I believe. And so, I'm glad I'm saved. It's more than being saved. Oh, man. You're justified. God sees, the moment I trusted Christ as my Savior from that old green couch I paid $110 for years ago and as a young kid at 20 years old, the moment I trusted Christ as my Savior, God took me out of the lost fallen race of Adam and put me in Christ, and now he sees me not as a sinner, he sees me justified just as though I never sinned. Wow. Look at this. It's a lot easier. Here I was. And then I was born condemned, sin. Come on, Hanky. But the moment I trusted Christ as my Savior, he cleansed me with his blood. And now, the Bible says he washed me white as snow. And now God doesn't see any of my sin. All he sees is the righteousness. Oh, that great book of that doctrine of justification talks about the righteousness. Oh, it's one of my favorite books to teach. It takes about 2 months to teach it, but it's a tremendous book. And doctrine, rather. And God sees me just as though I've never sinned. See, a lot of people Jack, they think, oh, I went and sinned. I lost my salvation. Now, once you're saved, you're always saved. See, the Bible says we're sealed until the day of redemption. And the day of redemption is when Christ calls us up here. And so, I still sin in the flesh. You run me off the road, I'll probably say, you dirty rat, I'd like to knock your lights out. Hello? Preacher? What do? You don't say, bless you, child. Thank you for running me off the curb. No, you don't. You dirty dog devil. That's what you call him. Hello? What makes us do that? Well, it's that fallen nature that we're born with. We'll have to the day we die. The Bible has three names for it. And I'll teach you that tonight or tomorrow or next week. Anyways, God sees it. If you trusted Christ your Savior, you really repented of your sin, and you really trust him as your Lord and Savior, God saved you, and you're saved until the day of redemption. You cannot lose your salvation. And I'll show it to you in the scriptures. Not tonight. I'm not going to get that far. I thought I was going to breeze through this. And so we have justification, sanctification. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. That's not talking about water baptism. For by one Spirit are all, 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we Jews or Gentile, bond or free, and have all been made to drink in the one Spirit. And that one Spirit is the Holy Spirit of God. The moment I trusted Christ as my Savior, his Holy Spirit came into me. The very moment, and I can prove it. I will. I think I'm going to teach that book of Romans. I'm just wanting to teach it real bad. And but you see how that the moment you trusted Christ, his Spirit comes inside you. That's why I can't lose my salvation. He's in me. Amen? And no man can pluck me out of my Father's hand. Hello? How many are still with me? And so 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether it be Jews or Gentile, bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit, and that Spirit is the Holy Spirit. That's the Spirit of God. Not talking about water baptism. It's talking about the baptism, the spiritual baptism that Colossians talk about. You got a circumcision. The Bible says you've got a circumcision made without hands, and that's God's circumcision. And so then we got glorification. Glorification. One day we're going to get brand new bodies. Romans chapter 8. Look at Romans 8, 18. Romans 8, 18. Romans 8, 18. We're talking about glorification. For I reckon, Paul was from the south. For I reckon, probably West Virginia. I'm just kidding you. Close to it, though. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory. Glory. Make that glow, John Brooke, you say. Dr. Dennis, say, make it a long O, glow. Because we're gonna shine as a firmament in the light. And we're gonna be, do you know we're gonna shine bright in heaven? Bible talks about we're gonna shine. We're gonna have a real special glow to us. We're compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Man, that one day, Billy, and I'm gonna tell you right now, Bobby, with all our high blood pressure, diabetes, and everything else, man. I can't wait to get glorification. Buddy, I need a new body. Some of you are younger. You don't need it yet. But I'm going to tell you right now, this old guy needs a brand new body. I can't wait till glorification comes. I can't wait to cash in this baby and get the new one. Amen? And that new one, Brother Mike, it ain't never going to get old. It ain't never going to get sick. It ain't never going to get deteriorated. See, I'm in the flesh now, but when God calls us up, Betty, we're going to have a body that's going to live forever, that never gets sick, that never dies. Can anyone say amen? We're going to have a glorified body. A lot of people don't notice this. I got to sneeze here. Here comes the old sneezer. Well, it stopped. Oh, well. If I do sneeze, it'll probably be twice. Usually when I sneeze, it's twice. How many ever sneeze just once? No, you don't know. No, it's usually bam, bam, because two's a number of witness. But anyways, did you know even the animals are excited about our glorification? How many still got Romans 8? Look at what Paul wrote in verse 18. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared. Yeah, I don't care how bad we got in this life. When we get crossed over and we get that glorified body, we're going to be in heaven with Christ for ages on to come, ages never ending. This is nothing compared to what we're going to have. You can't even compare it. I don't care how bad we got this. And by the way, we don't all have it that bad either. But as bad as we can have it, God said, don't worry, you're not even going to remember when I give you the glorified body. Which we're worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed to us. Now watch verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature, not you, your dog, your cat, your baby, your little pet fish. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. The trees. Hello? This old creation. See, God's a creator. I don't care what those idiots say that we, you know, over so many billions and billions of years we evolved and people just got. If you believe that, I'll sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. I like Genesis account 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Well, God's creation, not just the people that he saved, but his creation of the trees and the animals. Look what it says. For the creature itself waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. They can't wait till we get our glorified body, because they get out of this crazy world too. Did you know, Jack, in the Garden of Eden, it never got down to two below zero? Did you know it never snowed there? Isn't that exciting, Jack? We're going to a place where it ain't going to be cold no more. Hallelujah. I'm glad we're not going to the hot place either. Amen. For the creature was, for the earnest expectation of 19, creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. They can't wait. Look, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who had subject to sin, the same hope. But the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Now they don't have a soul. They don't get saved like you and I did. But they're going to be delivered from this world of corruption. How many are still with me? We're not going to have freezing weather. We're not going to have 5-foot snow drifts. How many are still with me? We're not going to have ice storms. There'll be animals in heaven too. I can't get on that tonight. But I think there will be animals in heaven, and they don't get saved by the blood of the Lamb, but they got their animals because God created them. See, look up here. Man, I didn't have none of this plan, Rod. That's why I never get done. Man is a Trinity. Just like God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God's a Trinity. These three are one. Well, man is a Trinity. We have a body, soul, and spirit. And in this teaching of Romans, I'll show you all about those. God made man in the likeness of himself. God was a Trinity. He made man a Trinity. Hello? He made his body, soul, and spirit. Okay. He quickens our spirit. As you look in Ephesians chapter 2, Carl, that spirit is dead. He makes our dead spirit come alive, and he saves our soul. Because their spirit and soul are different. Hello? How many are still with me? I tell you, this Romans class is exciting. There's a lot of good stuff in it, I'm telling you. But it takes time to teach it. And it takes time for people that really want to learn it. But just like God's a Trinity, he made man a Trinity. Body, soul, and spirit. And there's a scripture over there. I didn't have this plan. I think it's Thessalonians. It says your whole body, spirit, and soul be blameless. You know what? Since I had that heart attack and I was in that hospital for 38 days, Brother Nowak, I have hundreds of scriptures. God, when I was younger, I studied. I put a lot of scriptures in my heart. And I always could tell you right where they were. But since then, sometimes I have trouble finding. I can still quote the scripture, and that's the most important thing. But it seems like Betty, my mind sometimes is having trouble remembering right exactly where the location was, where I didn't. Look at 2nd. I'm going to try it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and I think it's around verse 50. What is it? Yeah. Okay, turn to it. What is the book? Yeah, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Yeah, that sounds good. I'm glad these guys took that Romans class. Yeah, it is 5:23. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. I'm trying to teach you about your soul and everything. And justification. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Watch. And I pray God your whole, count them, whole what? One. And soul, two. And body, three. Be preserved blameless on the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who will also do it. I love that. He's going to do it, Jack. I don't care what people say. He's going to do it. What he start? Jesus never started something, didn't finish it. I start stuff and never get it finished. Not him. Whatever he starts to do, he finishes it. That's why he's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. But notice what it says, your whole spirit, soul, and body. You are a Trinity. You are a tri-being. Well, how can I be three in one? God's three in one. An egg is three in one. You got the outer shell, you got the white, and you got the yolk. There's a lot of things that's a trinity, yet it's only one egg. Hello? How many are still with me? How can I be? We've got a body. We got a spirit, which is connected to, it's connected to the intellect of a man. And then you got a soul, which is not this heart that pumps, but it's the heart that feels, has feelings. How many are with me yet? And that's the soul. That's what he said. When that person had soul, he could really feel deep. They get that from the scriptures. How many are with me yet? And so, justification. God's gonna save our soul and body and spirit. This old flesh is going back to dust, but he's gonna give us a brand new body. Amen. And then sanctification. We're set apart. And then glorification. Yeah, that's what I was on right now. One day we're going to get a brand new glorified body. Amen? I'm excited about that. And so so I put down, and then chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, the last doctrine, doesn't take that long to do it. The first two are the big hitters. Takes a lot of time on those first two. But consecration, and if you look at Romans 12:1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a holy sacrifice. Let's see. Present your body a holy sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. And so it's our reasonable service to serve him. That's our consecration. How consecrated are we to God? We're consecrated to a lot of things in life. Are we consecrated to God? Amen? And so those are the five major doctrines that are taught in the book of Romans, 16 chapters. They're pretty exciting. And maybe someday in the near future I'll start teaching right from verse 1. Maybe I'll go for a couple months and I'll stop, because I'll probably blow you. You won't even come to church and say, he's just going to teach Romans. But if you really wanted to learn some stuff, I could give you a lot of stuff to learn. Trust me. And I'd give you papers every week. They're already printed out, so you could collect and have the whole thing, the book of Romans on it. But, okay, let's just take it's already 8 o'clock. You know what's hilarious? And you're not going to believe this, but I actually, this is what I was going to go to when we breezed through this. This is what I was going to do tonight. This is tonight's lesson right here. I'm not lying to you. I'm serious. Wow. This stuff's great, ain't it? And let me just give you a couple of verses and we'll go home. How many would like to stay for 10 more minutes? If not, I'll let you go. 10 minutes? Okay. Condemnation. Turn to Romans 3:10. Romans 3:10. And first doctrine that you're going to learn in Romans is the doctrine of condemnation, where all people are guilty. See, why is that important? Look up here. Most people think if they do good, they'll go to heaven. Most people think, and there's three types of sinners, and there's a rational and the reformed and the religious. We talk about those three different people, and it takes a couple weeks for each one of them. But in the doctrine. Boy, that condemnation's fun, isn't it? You got, you know, all them different characters and stuff. And you have to realize every person's condemned. You can't get a person saved until they get lost. And every person is... Like right now, that baby that just was born, that baby's safe. I believe if that baby went to heaven, if died right now, I'm not saying that's good. I'm just trying to use it for an illustration. If someone has a baby and they died young, some of you might have had lost babies. And people, and the reason I say that, I used to have a lady come here, her and her husband, years ago. And they had a child, and the child died in early age, like about a year old. And that priest told her, and I'm not knocking the Catholics, I'm just telling you what he told her. And he told her a lie. He told her that the baby died in hell because it was never baptized. Well, I'm going to tell you one thing. I don't care. You can baptize a baby 1,000 times or a person 1,000 times. And that person, unless they get born again, they don't go to heaven. Baptism's got nothing to do with heaven. Baptism's got nothing to do with justification. And so, that even though that lady got saved, John, and they remembered her for several, when I first came here back in the 90s, they were here for several years with me, older couple. And I taught her the truth, and she knew it was the truth. I'm going to close with that. I won't read it, but I'll teach this maybe next Wednesday. But she taught, they put that in her mind when she was younger, and she always lived in the back of her head that her baby might not have went to heaven. I didn't have, you know what? Boy, next week, I hope God lets me preach what I'm going to preach. I didn't get the one thing that I wanted, but I better do what God says, amen? But someone needs to hear this tonight. That baby's safe. Those little babies are safe until they come to accountability. Until that baby understands they're a lost sinner and they know that they have to take Christ to save their, then that's when they're accountable. Little children are not accountable. Jesus said, suffer the little children to come to me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Well, that baby died as a little infant. That baby, there's no doubt in my mind that baby went to heaven. But that priest tried to tell her that baby went to hell. And I told her, and I told her husband, I'm amazed her husband didn't do it. I don't think he was with her at that time. But maybe he was. I don't think so. I can't remember. Because he had enough grit in him to do it. I said, if that would have been you, some of you folks might get offended with me. I'm just a plain guy that God saved off the streets. But I told her, I said, I'm going to tell you right now, if a guy would have told that to my wife, I'd have punched him right in the face right then. Priest, preacher, rabbi, I don't care who. If they said that to my wife, I'd knock their lights out. Boy, when your family gets home, you'll say, boy, you ain't got a very, hey, Buck, what kind of preacher you got down there? You got a man for a preacher that believes the King James Bible is true. To me, and that, Bobby, that dear lady, to this day, I guarantee you, and as much as I taught her, as much as I preached, I didn't preach the message where babies go when they die. She believed Billy, even though she knew truth. The lie of Satan can really hinder your life. That's why you don't want to be subject to those lies. That's why you want to be in a church that teaches you truth. Amen. I'm glad she got out. I'm glad she got saved. But all her life she lived with fear. Did my baby make it? And every day I told her, Carl, Teresa, your baby did make it. Amen. She's with heaven. She's in heaven right now. You'll see her when you get there. The lie of Satan, people, what he was trying to do was try to give money out of her. You give me money, I'll pray it out of purgatory. There's no such thing as purgatory. I'm not trying to attack people. I just want people to get set free with truth. Purgatory, there's no purgatory in the Bible. There's two places, heaven and hell. You have Christ your Savior, you go to heaven. You don't have Christ not as your Savior, you go to hell. There's no turning back. There's no praying out. There's no second chance. Why today is the day of salvation. Now is the time to repent and trust Christ. And I watched that lady's eyes. I saw her cry. And she lived. I haven't seen him for a while. But I bet she still lives with it, Mac. Because she was scarred so bad. She was scarred so bad. Babies die, they go to heaven. They're safe. Until they come to the knowledge of Christ, then they must be saved. But little babies that they have no capability to either receive or reject. They don't have an understanding. That's why the Bible says, come now, let us reason together. And until they can reason, that they need Christ, they're safe. I believe that. You don't have to believe it. You can be wrong, and when it gets there, you say, you were right, preacher. Until they come to the knowledge of Christ, they're safe. Boy, that's a, boy, when we get in that condemnation about that light that's in you. Every person's born with a God conscience that God is. I'll stop. And that baby that was just born the other day, she's born with that light. She's born with a God conscience that God is. Because he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, the Bible says. How many are still with me? And John 1:7, right in there, John chapter 1. He was the light that lighteth every man that cometh in the world. Matthew 6:5-23 says, if that light that be in you be darkened, how great is the darkness? Don't put Jesus out of your life. Don't push him out. You might turn out the light. They say, turn out the light. The party's over. You blow that. You put that light up, that God conscience, that light. The Bible, by the way, in the Old Testament, it's called a lamp. In the Old Testament, that spirit is called a lamp and a light. You put that light out, then you're in darkness. Well, I'm glad those babies don't have to worry about putting the light out. And I got to stop. That's the trouble, Betty. I love this book. There's so much great stuff in Romans. I could teach for hours on it. I said, God, I could. And I don't know if I can now with my body, not as physical as it used to be, but there's a lot of stuff there. Now, don't be afraid to put your hand up, and don't be afraid. And I'll do whatever the Lord tells me, no matter what, but I'm just curious. If I would just do a small series on Romans, would give you outlines, who would like to have that Romans teaching? And because it's almost like a Bible college class. It's a Bible college. You'll be getting meat, the meat of the Word every night. Some people don't care about that, and so, all right, let's stand for prayer. Glad you came tonight. Brother Coolidge, would you lead us in prayer?
Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and grace. Thank you, Lord, for your wonderful word. Oh, God, you call it your living oracles, Lord.
Yes.
That book's alive just like I'm alive.
Yep.
Thank you, Lord, for your Bible. Thank you for the teaching of your Bible. Thank you now, Lord, just for being good to all of us. I pray now for Brother Bob, Lord, that you go get his business took care of now, Lord, that he's not hurt bad. I pray now, Jesus, you'd bless all our sick. Yes. And thank you, Lord, for our visitor today, Buck's father-in-law. Just thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen.